First of all, I want to say to Pastor Tyson, I want to thank him for allowing me to be with y'all this morning. But it always amazes me when a church talk about they having a dinner or breakfast. I saw your pastor kind of point me out. No matter where I go, when it's something to deal with some food, people make sure they look at me. So, but it's a blessing to be here this morning. I want to thank y'all for just last week. And I think it was maybe Miss Bonnie. Yeah. Spoke about the voices of martyr. And she said last week, I got a lot of booklets out there on the table. And she didn't want to see not one of them there when she left. So, and I took it for hard. I took it to heart now. So I went by that table. It was two left. I grabbed one. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been reading it all week. How I know God is real, because that was not my plan. That was not my to pick up this book of those who are suffering, who have the body of Christ, who have been treated so hostile in parts of the world. Now, I ain't going to tell you a story. I had to get a dictionary to try to call out some of the names of the places. I ain't know some of these places existed. But I was so blessed with that. And this church has always, since I've been coming off and on, y'all scope of brotherhood and your neighbor is bigger than Ashland. And that's a blessing. Because a lot of people's neighbors, we have a concept that they're more than just your neighborhood, more than just Ohio. More than just you know, the United States. So to come here and time after time, I get to hear, if you don't mind, we'll put this right here. Time after time, I get to hear y'all version of love thy neighbor. So this morning, as Pastor Tyson had read that portion of scripture, and Moses was commissioned by God, and God said to him, that I'm going to put in your mouth. He said, I'm going to put, it says, now therefore go, and I will be with you, with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Then we go back to Mark, the fourth chapter, and this morning's message, the sower. And the sower, if I'm pronouncing that right. I just want to talk on briefly about how it is as a hospice chaplain. I've been given some of the wonderful time to be in people's lives at the very end of life. You know, we don't get to be with people when everybody was born. Everybody ain't invited into the room. But at the end of life, it's almost the same thing. To me, it is a privilege. I don't like just to say things as cliches. It is a privilege to be with somebody. And we were just talking about Miss Jewel. Now, Miss Jewel blessed me. I was the day before she passed, and she said to me, she said, Reggie, Jesus is calling me. And I ain't never heard that before like that. She said, Jesus is calling me. And I felt good that she knew where she was going. I felt good that she knew she had this relationship. She wasn't worried. She wasn't scared. She was embracing that she's going to be in eternity with God. That's what I get to do week in and week out. I get to sit at people's side, maybe give a chance to share, maybe not. More likely, just when I get started reading on this passage, more likely it's been times where I've shared the word of God with somebody and they did not want to hear it. I was in the hospital one day up in Akron. Come in the door, man told me I don't want no company. I said, hey, I just heard that you wasn't feeling well. Can I come in and just see how you doing? He said, do what you want. I was in that room for 2 hours. I was trying to leave. And sometimes it's amazing how some people may don't know what they may even need. I was in a room with another man. I can do this all day long. And I was seeing him for a couple of months, and he's never said a word to me. Never. I would read scriptures to him, and he would never say not just nothing. One day, I don't know what came upon him. I think it was the Holy Spirit. I got through and I prayed and I left like I normally do. He sat up and he said to me, thank you for speaking life to me. I turned back. I was about shocked. I mean, and another great term that's been almost 8 years ago, and I still remember. I still get this blessing to recall a time where God allowed me to say a few words, but then to receive the results of somebody acknowledging Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's go to this passage. Jesus said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprung up, and it had no depth in the earth, but the sun was up, and it scorched it, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others fell among good ground, and yielded a crop that sprung up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, I'm going to jump to verse 13. Where Jesus is explaining the parable. Do you not understand this parable? How then shall you understand all the parables? The sower sowed the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When the word was sown and they heard it, Satan came and immediately and took away the word, and was sown in their heart, and never made through their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it, and with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a little time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arise, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceptions and riches and the desires of their own things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good soil. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, your pastor already prayed, and I'm not going to try to overshadow him. But I am truly blessed that every now and then God gives me a chance to share his word. And it's an amazing thing about this portion of scripture. I was just reading about Billy Graham. I'm from the state of North Carolina, and we all proud of Billy Graham. We always talk about him because he's from the state of North Carolina. But Billy Graham will say this about evangelizing or telling the word. He said, if you ain't excited about it, you can't be going out there telling people about it. Amen? If you bitter, looking mean, hurting, then you want to share the good news to a world that's hurting, it's hard for them to listen to you. This is not me. This is the great Billy Graham saying this. So when you know the word of God and you appreciate what Jesus done for you, it's easy for us to go out. It should be easy for us to go out and share his good news. Amen? Now, at the seminary, they should tell us this. Don't make people say amen. Don't make them, but every now and then, I seem like I got to make people say amen. So how do we do this as a witness? We have this relationship ourselves. We have to have this relationship ourselves. We have to have, you know, I love it when I go to a church. Most churches have an altar or call or bench where it says, and inscribed in it says, do this in remembrance of me. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I don't think enough churches talk about what that means. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what Jesus done for us. What he done for us. And none of y'all in here because y'all are so good. None of y'all in here because all what you've done or whatever the goodness that you think you have done. No, you here because you remember what Jesus done for you. My wife probably get tired of hearing this story, but I carry a quarter in my pocket. Got so much, I got quarters everywhere. And this quarter reminds me, back in 1992, I want to say, I can't remember the date, I can't remember everything, but I can remember that quarter I had in my pocket. I was hurting, I was in college, I didn't have no money. I was working in a cafeteria, sweeping, mopping the floor, just to make ends meet, just to go to school. I was disgusted one day. I was just mad at myself. I went for a walk. Went outside, didn't have a dime to my name. I was a little hungry. At that time, I was home. And I went to walk, and I looked down on the ground. I found a quarter. And believe it or not, back in the day, back in the 90s, a quarter can get you a little Debbie. Yeah. You see where my mind going, right? So I was excited. I got that quarter, I picked it up in my pocket, and I was just, you know, twirling around with me, went down. I was going to go to the little store around the corner. The little store was closed. This was a Saturday. It's supposed to be open. So I kept walking. I walked around the corner. And the church, this campus church, I'm sad to say this, I never knew they had a campus church. That's how bad I was in college. I went around the corner, they had this little church, and they were singing, and this is an African-American church, and they was, you can see the building shaking, they were just having a good old time. I just walked on in there. They got the preacher. They got the singer. And my good friend, one of my fraternity brothers, he was the assistant pastor. He was up on stage and was a lady minister. And she was preaching. I don't know what she said. They took up an offering. My only little quarter. I was embarrassed. The pan came around, and I dropped my quarter in there quick. And she got to preaching, and the Holy Spirit hit me. Hit me. Next thing I gave my life to Christ, I remember what Jesus had done. It came to me. It came to me. Jesus wasn't lost. I was lost. It came to me. I left that church service happy. I was broke, still hungry, but I felt good. I mean, I felt good. So I went home to my little one-bedroom apartment I was renting out. To my surprise, boy, the Lord is good. It was a care package right there on my door. Care package, I'm telling you. I ain't even never had one. I ain't know what it was, really. I ripped that thing open, boy. They had snacks and, you know, Lance crackers in there and everything. But guess what else was in there? Two rolls of quarters. Two rolls of quarters. I think I broke down. Because you know I didn't want to give up that quarter. I did not want to give up that last quarter. I was trying to find that little Debbie to eat. And God had already arranged everything and more. Witness. Witness. That's why I say it's to me, it's important that we share the good news. We tell our story about what Jesus has done for us. Now, he don't make our lives all easy. I walk up here with a limp because I got playing football. I don't have everything I want in life. I don't have all the grace, but I got something that the world can't take away. I ain't got to say amen on that, do I? Witness. And I believe this, if you've been given something, I grew up in a not the best situation. Didn't have a lot of things growing up. But I always would get, the Lord would always send certain men to me. And they would have just what I needed. They were stern, hard, wise men. And they never did me wrong. So I always grew up myself. I said, you know, I'm gonna be the same way to those young guys that are out there in the world that need a help. Because I had many times when they didn't even know they was witnessing to me. Telling us, I'm full of stories. I like telling stories. So you're gonna hear a lot of stories. I'm gonna get to the word, but you're gonna hear a story. And this story is about a gentleman who spoke to me. When I got out of college, I'm on fire. You know how when you first get saved, you're on fire. You want to tell everybody about Jesus. People don't even want to see you no more because you get on their nerve. You want to talk about, you know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And when you're a big man coming up on people get a little scared. Do you know Jesus? So I went home and got back to work with my church. The head trustee was a Mr. Robert Truesdale. He did everything. He opened up the door. He made the signs, and he did everything. He took the money. Well, he got to be a little older. He had been doing it for 30 years. So I started opening up the door. I started putting the letters on front of the church, making up stuff, you know, get people to draw, you know, the letter. You know. I started taking up the money and putting it in the bank. I started having, he had, you know, them keys. Some of y'all got them keys too, where you could put a whole string out. Yeah. I got me one. I had me a set of keys on my little thing, on my overall. I had them all out. I locked the door. I felt important. Well, Mrs. Tuesday had a stroke, a massive stroke. And then he had another one. And they put him in a nursing facility. And I had to go and visit with him. I wanted to go visit with him. And when I did, I went and saw him. They had him in a wheelchair, looking out of the window. He couldn't even see. And I got down close to him, and I whispered in his ear. I said, "Mr. Truesdale, this is Reggie. I just want to let you know, don't worry about the church. I'll take care of the building. I'll take care of the people. Don't worry about the money. I'll take up the money. Don't worry about nothing. No, don't worry." And this is the kicker. "Mr. Truesdale, I've been watching you for 30 years. You didn't even know I've been watching you. I didn't even realize I was watching him." And I said, "I just want to thank you for the service you have done for the church and everything you have shown me inadvertently how to walk this walk." A few days later, he passed. But I wanted to thank him. Because when I needed a father figure to come in and say something, I mean, one time I said something, I should have kept my mouth quiet. My mama don't cook all the time. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't look like you missed a meal, buddy." Who said amen? Oh my goodness. Now you done messed me up. But getting back, I had plenty of examples. I can come to modern day time and talk about y'all pastor. He didn't know I was gonna say this. It's good. When I was in the ministry, it's been about 10 years ago since he said this to me. We talked about it a time before. He said to me, the church, I mean, God is first. Y'all probably heard this. The church is second, and the church is third. Now, I know I ain't the smartest cookie in the world, but I was like, wait a minute, two churches, what are you talking about? The first church, he told me, is your family. Then the second church is the body here. And I took that from him. And I tried my best to embed it in my life. Now, this may not to y'all may seem like witnessing. This may not seem like, you know, going out there with the Bible and hitting every corner and telling everybody about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we need people to speak to us, to show us the way. Where I can come up here and I can sit up here and I can tell you, not that you don't know Jesus, but I can share with you. They have to help to tell you about how right now, and now I'm back to the scripture, right now how your words may go out to the dying need of this world. That every bit of whatever you sow, somehow you ain't got to sit there and watch it, but somehow it's going to grow. First, I said that first sign. They said this. Jesus said this. I'm gonna go down to. I said on the first. When he explained, he says those who you throw seeds on the wayside, those that where the ground is rough and hard, they don't want to receive the word. That's gonna happen. And the truth, if you tell the truth, some of us been that person. When someone tried to share the word with you, you didn't want to hear it. Then that second one is the one that's on stony ground. Stony ground where the ground is hard and the seed can't go down, can't be penetrated into the ground so it can take a root and grow up. There's going to be plenty of people who are going to be excited, talk about Jesus, talk about the word of God. But at some point, it leaves them. It's an old story about a young kid who was getting to bed and his mama and daddy put him to bed and put him to sleep. You may have heard this story before. It's a quick one. I got to slow down. My wife tell me, slow down. Then the parents went back to their bedroom and boom, heard this big noise. They ran back in the room and they saw the kid on the floor. And said, what happened? And he said, I fell out the bed. Well, how did you do that? He said, I was too close to the edge. That's some of us. We get saved, or we hear the word. We get happy. The Lord is good. But if you're the same Christian you are now that you was 10 years ago, you at the edge of the bed, and you're going to fall. The third one is the one that through thorny grounds. Thorny grounds where the world comes in, and you receive the word. You're a follower of the word. But somehow you playing two at the same time. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve mammon and the Lord. You can't serve. You can't be out here giving everything to the world and give a little bit to the Lord and think you're going to have this great relationship with the Lord. You know, it is a time that we really have to realize that, hey, we have to do what we need to do to have the relationship we need to have. This getting back to the hospice scenario, I met so many wonderful people at the end of life that really had this relationship. And they would tell me, just like Miss Jewel would say, I'm ready. Because they didn't put everything they had in this world. Let me tell you something. As a hospice chaplain, this is what I've learned over the last 10 years. I learned what matters most. Now, you can have all the riches in the world, but when that final hour comes to you, it ain't going to do you no good. You can have all these great things and all these things that the world gives you. And ain't no wrong with having good things. Ain't no wrong with having nice, but have it in its place. Because at your end of your life, I have this thing on my computer, because this is totally the scripture. It says this, and on my computer, I open up every day, I see this every day when I see it, it says this, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that's what I want to hear. Well done. I don't want to hear, you know, your portfolio look good. I don't know if we can use it in heaven, but it looks good. No, I want to hear, well done. Enter in. And I'm going to tell you something, all our lives as Christians, what is our main goal is? A lot of people say, I want to meet my loved one, I want to meet this. You probably want to meet Jesus. And one of the things I love about our faith is this. A lot of people say, well, I done all this stuff. I'll give you an example. Just happened Friday evening. They called me out for a lady who was scared. She didn't know if she was going to make it to heaven. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm 54 years old. I don't want to be 80 something years old and not know where I'm going. We need to think about that, right? I ain't getting no amen on this. We need to think about that. And when you turn a certain age in your life, I'm there right now at 54. I know where I want to go. I know who I want to meet. I know what the end of my life should be with. But when the Friday, somebody called me late Friday to go out to a young lady, I didn't mind. And I shared every bit of scripture I could. Prayed, sung at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart flowed away. I did it all. I did all God put in me to do, to share with her, that she would have this relationship. And, you know, I'm a believer that God is gracious. And you can call me at any moment. If you never knew the Lord, I'm going to tell you God is gracious. He do have some requirements. And I try my best to lead people to repent. You know, the whole Romans road of salvation. And I try my best to end up in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus raised from the grave of your sins and mine, the Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. See, I was shocked when hospice hired me. And they started paying me to do stuff I was already doing free. I ain't tell them that though. I took their money. But we all have that ability. We all have opportunities. We all have a chance to share the good news of Jesus. No matter where you may even think where you at. Man used to say this about one person who's not saved and come to church. He said, well, he may not be saved when he come to church, but he keep coming to church long enough, something's going to happen. Now, I didn't tell y'all the beginning of that story about me getting saved. My grandfather was a Methodist preacher. My mama was head trustee at our little church. It wasn't no conversation if you was going to go to church on Sunday morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It was a lot of young people today, I ain't going. I got teeth in my mouth. For a reason, because I knew I wasn't saying that to my mama. We went to church every Sunday morning. Sitting in the back, me and my brother, we just two bad kids, just bad. And my mom used to come around and she'd get her little pinch, she'd get a little pinch on you. And she'd get it, she'd pinch it, and then she'd twist it. Like she's just torturing you. And you would just, and you better not say a word. But I didn't know Jesus. Went there all those days. Till I was a teenager. Then I went off to college. But this is what I'm trying to get to, what I'm trying to say. I was one of those that didn't want to hear the word. I was one of those where the word gave to me on stony ground. I didn't let it germinate. I was one of those who liked the world more than I liked the church. I wanted to do all the things out there and didn't want to be a part of the church. I thought it wasn't going to be fun. But then, like the scripture said, but he threw seeds on good soil. The Lord cultivated me that when it did happen, boy, I took it. I mean, I took it. And all my buddies was like, you at the church all the time. You doing this, you doing that. And I'm saying to myself, the church was keeping me. The church was keeping me. I'll be the youngest person in the hymn choir. up there singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind. I had a purpose and I had a reason to be up there singing. Because the Lord spoke to me, he gave me another chance." And I say this to all of us, to indulge it. Not, this is not just for us, it's just for all of us. The world, just like Miss Bonnie was sharing with us, you speak the word, so you may be not the person that hit that final blow, but you know what? You don't plant a seed. There's somebody else plant another seed. There's somebody else, and it just hits them. And they grow. As you can see, I ain't no skinny Christian. My seed might have been a mustard seed, but I don't know what kind of seed it is now. Too big of a seed. He's good. He's good. He's too good not to that we not share his word to a dying world. So getting back to my hospice experience, I get the glorious chance to just keep throwing seeds out there. See, y'all see me up here, and y'all, you know, y'all may not get it, though. The girls I work with, they laugh about when I say this. I say, listen, here I am, big old country boy from North Carolina, I had a little accent, I still got it. And I go into somebody's house who's 80, 90 years old, in this region, more likely they don't look like me. And they a little bit scared when they not come in the door. I see it on their faces. But I still get a chance to speak to people. And it's amazing how sometime in the beginning, people don't want to shake your hand. But by the time you leave and they giving you a piece of cake and a cup of milk, telling you to come back. And it depends on how good that cake is. I'm gonna show off. This is what I do. This is what he's given me to do. I like to make sure I say it right, because I can't say I done something. I didn't go to seminary to be a hospice chaplain. I didn't go to seminary at all. I wanted to be the best preacher in the world. I wanted to be like Billy Graham and all the greats. So I heard this great preacher say this: don't strive to be the great preacher. Strive to preach the greatest gospel. Mess me up. Now I'm one of them. You know how you hear a starving artist? Starving preacher. But I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. I know not coming to this church now, y'all talk about ministry around the world. I am grateful. I am grateful that God is still on the throne. I am grateful. We just had an election, and I'm not trying to pick sides or talk about it, but the Lord is still in control. Amen? Amen. The one thing I do hate about elections is this: we talk more about candidates than about Jesus. I don't care whose side you're on. But I know who called me. And I know who's blessing every last one of y'all. All the praise reports and you asking for a prayer request. It's because of him. He is worthy. He is worthy for you to get uncomfortable. I'm going to tell two more stories and I'm going to get out of here. One story. Now, you may not believe this good-looking guy used to be a street vendor. I shouldn't say this, because some gentleman might say amen too hard down there. But I used to sell hot dogs. And I might have ate a little bit too much of my product, but I sold hot dogs. And one day I was selling hot dogs, and I was saved by this time. I was saved, I knew the Lord. But this young kid came up to me, and boy, he was nervous. And I had my eye on him, because I didn't know what he wanted. He came up, and we got to talking, and he said to me, "Do you know Jesus?" And I try to hold my smile back. I wanted him to stay nervous. I said, "Why don't you tell me about him?" And he told me about Jesus. And he was just, I mean, he was nervous. And I said, "Man, hey, he is my Savior. But I thank you for sharing him." You talking about somebody lifted a load off him. He was so happy. He ain't done nothing, but he was happy. But he did do something. He didn't take counsel from his fears. He did do something. He witnessed to somebody he didn't even know. He did do something that I still remember it over 20 years. He did do something. Now, I don't know where this kid is right now. I'm sure he's probably pastoring a church somewhere. But he took the word of God that God gave him, and he stuck out and he came at me. And I made sure I thanked him afterwards. Although I went through, gave him that trouble, but I made sure I thanked him because I was so appreciative that he cared enough for me to give me that life-living word. He didn't know me, but he cared enough for me. What do you call it when a stranger shares you life? And this is my last thing. And the thing is that why we needed this, we need to push our, not just push, but we need to work our faith. We can't sit, I love y'all church, we can't sit still and say that the word of God is just going to keep going forward. At my other church, they would say the Holy Spirit will lead us. And I used to get mad at that because, yeah, the Holy Spirit leads you. One thing. One of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies. We were soldiers. You ever seen that? Mel Gibson? I love it. I love the day and time where you can just, because I don't watch all the movies, the whole thing. It's just certain parts of the movie I like. So I just fast forward to the end. At the end of that movie, was a colonel. Colonel was, gosh, I wish I remember his name now. It left me. But the colonel was surrounded. He had a little bit of forces with him. And he knew that the enemy outnumbered him vastly. And they were coming. He knew they were coming. They were running out of ammunition. They were bunkered down. And it was ready, so when that enemy come, they're going to be able to at least fight to the very death. And then the colonel asked his, I think it was Master Sergeant, he said, "What would, oh my God." He was asking about another general, what would he do? And I ain't going to say the words that he said. So he made his mind up as this. Tell all the guys to put the bear in the knives in their rifle. Tell them to get everything together. And at the sound of a whistle, we're going to charge. Now, he didn't have the army, that the other army. He didn't have the men that the people was coming against him. And he knew if he stayed still and fight bunkered up, they were going to overtake him. Y'all know where I'm going, right? He blew that whistle. And all them little bit of men ran out. And they attacked the enemy. And they drove the enemy back because it shocked them. They wasn't ready for that. They wasn't ready for that little bit of force, that little bit of church to go out and take care of the whole city. They wasn't ready for that. And what happened is him and that little force took it over, ran them back, won the battle. What about us? Sometimes we say, oh, I don't know. No. I tell you what, we got to remind ourselves who is with us. Amen? We got to remind ourselves that there's nothing greater in front of us, but who's backing us? Who called us? Who prepared us? Right? In that, we're victorious. We already know this. We know what the end's going to be. Amen? We know what the end's going to be. I was watching Ohio State yesterday, and the score was like 30-0. I said, I'm cutting it off. I know what the end's going to be. We know what the end's going to be. Cast your seeds. Cast your seeds. And wherever they fall, those may not receive them. Those may get choked. Those may get caught up by the world. But then there's that fourth category. Those who are ready. And it's up to you to give them that seed. Amen? I'm still mad at that gentleman right there. You know I'm going to hug you at the end of the service. Let's pray. Eternal God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that it's not just about us. It's not just about our careers. It's not just about hospice. But it's about you using us to proclaim your word. It's about you using us to share to this dying world that there's victory in Jesus.